What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The Celestial Compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass. And today we are going to travel back in time and explore the roots of astrology online. But first, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's happening for us in the month of April, because it's an extremely complex and ultimately exciting, and I hope by the end of it, pleasurable month. The first half of the month is extraordinarily active. There are influences that are prodding us to get up and do much, much more, and allowing us to get up and do much, much more than has been possible for some time. There's an abundance of energy in the sign of Aries in the first half of the month, encouraging impulsivity and just getting out and trying, doing. This week in particular is a week of multiple opportunities, which are always a choice. They're on offer for you. You can take them or not. And then as we get closer to the middle of the month, we begin a very gradual shift into a bit calmer, a bit more stayed, a bit more focused on comfort and what's right in front of us rather than running around trying to grab things. There is a shift by the middle of the month into a majority of planets in Taurus, the first earth sign of the zodiac, and it befits the flowers that are starting to come in bloom here in the northern hemisphere. Taking it easy, taking naps, going outside, sniffing flowers, having snacks, being calmer and having much more of an approach of wanting something tangible right there in front of you that you can touch, explore with your senses. Now, there's an interesting trend throughout the month, or a recurring theme, I think is a better way to put it, as we are making this gradual shift from highly, highly active to settling in and being with what we have in our lives. And that is that anytime a lot of planets are making sign changes this month, and when that happens, when they get to the end of the sign or near the end of the sign, they have a conversation with the outer planet that is acting as gatekeeper for the foreseeable future, the planet that is at the latest degree of its sign, which is Pluto, the lord of death, rebirth, regeneration, the guy with the scythe. So multiple times this month, we have moments, some of which are opportunities, some of which are more demands and forceful, to confront, to experience, grapple with and confront something that has been hidden, something that has been operating as a subterranean impulse, something that has been generating a tractor beam-like attraction, secrets perhaps that have been hidden. There's an invitation to drop some baggage at the door every time this happens. And it will be pretty obvious for you when it occurs. The first really big one is next weekend when Venus and Pluto get into a shoving match. So there could be something of great value to you or involving a relationship. If there's triangulation going on in your life or someone who's going after something that really is not good for them, things are going to come to light. Big money and power plays could also be involved with this. the middle of the month brings multiple opportunities for us to reshape our views of ourselves and to come in contact with big secrets, harsh truths, reshape the way we're looking at things as the Sun and Mercury have also harsh contacts with Pluto. Now, it's important to know that Pluto is a player in both of the moon events this month. The new moon on the 12th in Aries, which takes all that Aries energy and just kind of rolls the seed out for the next 4 months as kind of a background program that we're dealing with. That new moon is in this challenging aspect with Pluto, so there will be some coming to grips with experiencing an intense refocusing that's part of this new energetic beginning that comes with the Aries new moon. And the full moon this month, which is on the 27th, is in Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto. So we're dealing with death and rebirth, lots of rebirth going on around us in the Northern Hemisphere. At least we're seeing plants coming back to light, greenery all over the place, some flowers starting to blossom. So take that all as a metaphor and see where it's happening in your own life. And if you want to look into more of what's going on astrologically, you'll find my This Month Incredibly Long forecast for April at omtimes.com and also at my site, empowermentunlimited.net. All right, so today, instead of looking at right now, we're going to travel back through time just a bit. Long before TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, any type of social media, AstroNet was the place to go for astrological information online. And we're going back into the last century. Boy, doesn't that sound scary? with the founder of AstroNet, whom I'm very happy is here, and I will tell you a little bit about her before we bring her on. And this is someone I actually know in person. I love that so far, pretty much everyone I've lined up for my show, I have actual contacts with. So hooray for my Aquarian Rolodex. There's a term that will date me. We have today Eugenie Desario. She founded AstroNet in the late 1990s when the internet was still in its infancy. People were still just starting to come on it. And it quickly became the premier, most popular online astrology destination, offering a wide variety of horoscopes, astrological content, and personal astrology consultations to the meteoric rising digital population. She says, those of us who started internet content companies were known as infopreneurs back then. It was a cosmic honor to bring the ancient art of astrology zooming into the world of cyberspace and inspire a daily audience of millions, even way back then. Now, to give you a little bit of the background of our guest, Eugenie Desario is a lifelong visual artist. She studied at Skowhegan School of Painting and Sculpture, earned a BFA from Tyler School of Art and Architecture of Temple University, and an MFA from Columbia University. While she was a graduate student, she co-designed the catalog Rooms for the inaugural show in what was to become the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art's PS1 in Long Island City, New York. After experimenting with conceptual and performance art, she co-founded seminal 80s art rock bands, Model Citizens, The Dance, and Chandra, whose music continues to be licensed and sampled in films and recordings today. In the late 1990s, she founded AstroNet as CEO, and with her persona, Jeannie Easy, she was named an internet content pioneer, a dot-com diva, and one of Harvard Business School's top 10 entrepreneurs of the year. Now she's gone back to abstract painting, which she resumed about full-time 6 years ago, And now some of her work has a Zodiac series, which we'll talk about near the end. Welcome, Eugenie.
Well, thank you, Kathy. It's an honor to be here.
I'm so glad you're here.
You're my favorite astrologer. You're my go-to astrologer these days. You know that.
And coming from you, this is such a profound honor. That really means an amazing amount to me. I want to start actually a little bit before your internet company. How did you get started being interested in astrology?
Well, it really goes way back to being, you know, like a child or a young teenager. I've always been intrigued by human nature and people's behaviors and traits, and astrology gave me insight into that. You know, I would read people's horoscopes. I'm a Libra, so, you know, started with myself. But really, I think what got me deeper was my first boyfriend at about age 15, the love of my life, was always in and out, on again, off again, and he was an Aquarius, January 25th. So, right, near you. So I really got
that's close.
I had a lot of people that are friends and connections during that early January. So I really dug deeper into the Aquarius energy to understand him. And it didn't help my broken heart, but I did realize why he could be so noncommittal and independent, despite saying he loved me too. And then I had my own chart done, and I realized I had Aquarius rising, and our signs were trine. And, you know, one thing led to another, and it was just, astrology became my language, you know, my Bible almost. So I started in graduate school, I started to do charts manually. And I was really a poor math student in high school. I can't believe I actually pulled off doing charts. But this was, you know, just when the computer software was on the cusp. And then I ended up after graduate school, like you mentioned, we stopped doing visual art and formed a bunch of bands. Like in the Mo Talking Heads, they went to Rhode Island School of Design. A lot of art students were forming bands in the early 80s. And we had some pretty successful bands and toured all over the world. And I used to do charts, people's charts, you know, when you'd be on the road and sitting around. So I built up, and then, you know, I just sort of built a substantial library. I remember just living in any bookstore I could get to and buying books and buying books. But that's really how I got into astrology. And, you know, it remains ever since.
And I bet that you were really popular on those tours. Tell me about myself.
Oh, everybody wants to talk about themselves, of course.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well. Yep. Well, so then how did you dream up Astronet? How'd you get the idea for it?
Yeah. Fast forward. I was in the music business, you know, into about the early 80s. And then the bands broke. I moved to Woodstock, New York, and I was in a relationship. And I actually had my son. I had a son, two sons. I had one around that time. And I was just so burnt out on the music business. So I left the music business. But then the relationship I was in was not really a healthy relationship. So I left and moved down temporarily with my parents in Connecticut with my son and the dog. And I was working a really mundane, horrible job and was just, you know, like, really, when I talk about my life, the story of my life is with most people, it's a zigzag, you know, it's up and down, and you keep redeeming and reinventing yourself. So I was really just hitting my bottom. And all those AOL discs were coming out. I thought, well, what is this? So I tried to get online. I did. Somebody at work helped me. And I wanted to use the name Genie of Love for my AOL account because that was one of my songs, but it wouldn't take it. So this guy that signed me up just be Genie Easy. So that became my AOL name. And then in poking around, I found the AOL Greenhouse, which was a seed funding incubation project. And I thought, you know, what have I got to lose? I'm just going to dream up something. And, you know, really back then, horoscopes were considered, I mean, I think it was proven, it was some of the most popular content in print media. So I figured, you know, I'll put together an astrology pitch. And I didn't know what I was doing. I hired someone to help me with a business plan and put this business plan together and pitched it to AOL. And they had me in the first round as someone of interest. So then I had to go down there a lot and, you know, pitch. And I have like no money, right? I have no money. I'm flying the shuttle from White Plains to Washington, which still is expensive. And here's a moment I always talk about when I talk to people. Of when I had balls. Finally, they said, well, we love you, you know, but you really have to come down one more time. And I said, hey, enough. I'm a single mother. I'm going to take a corporate job. If you don't give me the deal now, I'm gone. So an hour later, they call back and they said, you have the deal. And I got my first check. And but because I had this little tiny, you know, those old Mac computers, those little, I mean, if I kept it today, it'd be worth a fortune. But I mean, you know, it was like, so anyway, I got the check and I bought a computer. Now I'm still working in my parents' basement, in my parents' house, and I started to hire a few people. Anyway, so what happened was eventually, you know, we designed the site. It went on America Online, which was, you know, remember the discs back then? They were, all the discs were getting mailed. If you're back, if you're dated like I am. And remember Miss Cleo, the scammy psychic network was all over the place.
Oh, so, yes.
It was,
yeah.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. So anyway.
So for people who don't know, there you would get these unsolicited, you would get CDs in the mail that would have membership sign-up information for AOL. And at the same time, there was this actress portraying a Caribbean psychic named Miss Cleo and keeping it real. And it was a giant, it was not right. She was not, she was an actress, not a psychic. Yeah.
So, you know, and back then,
so anyway.
AOL was there were other Prodigy, but AOL was just the biggest dial-in site, and the World Wide Web was just starting to get going. So we started as a place on America Online. We became one of their most popular sites. In those days, the way you connected with people was through these chat rooms. So I was, like, up all night in the chat rooms, and, you know, I had all these things. Little by little, we started to hire a lot of staff, moved to an office downtown in New Canaan, big office. And had astrologers all over the country that were doing, you know, paid readings for our clients. And then I had my own column, Jeannie's Day, Jeannie's Week. I would write advice letters. I've got them down in my work. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I can't believe how prolific I was. But, you know, it's a funny thing.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. Hold that thought. We got a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Thank you.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on OM Times Radio called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and let yourself be transformed.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the Services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We are talking to Eugenie Desario, pioneering.com diva, about her big site, AstroNet, which started on AOL in the late 90s. So you were just talking about how you talked AOL into buying your pitch, started up the site, staying up late and chat rooms, and you were about to mention something funny, and I cut you off.
No, one of the things that I remember it as clear as day. I was still at my parents' house. It was on their patio, and AstroNet was still going on. I wasn't in the office yet, you know, I was still in the home office. And it's my birthday, and it's a full moon and a total lunar eclipse. And I remember just standing on the patio, looking up and watching the entire eclipse, staying up all night, and knowing that, like, this is the energy that's going to make me very successful. And then, everything just sort of took off that year. And I never forgot that feeling. Every time there's an eclipse, I always just, you know, stay up to watch it if it's visible. But it was so powerful. But anyway, then AstroNet, you know, it just branched out. We had all kinds of horoscopes, pet scopes, love scopes, biz scopes, astromates, food scopes, you know, you name it. And we really, you know, it grew very, very quickly. And we had, then when we went out to the web, you really got people from all over the world. And people would write to me for advice. And, you know, so it was pretty something. It was really something else.
So when it went out to the web, did it move so that it wasn't, so that it was available to people outside AOL?
Yeah, because then, right, the web was going. So it was www.astronet.com. And then if you are an AOL, you could just go to AstroNet, you know, if you wanted to just go to the AOL platform. So it was basically on the web, you know, it was on two platforms.
Oh, okay. And so let's say I'm just, you know, surfing along online and I get sick of looking at the coffee pot in the math lab in some university. There were all these goofy things all over the web, as I recall. Or playing with a magic eight ball where somebody had the camera positioned on it and you could ask a question, he would shake it. So let's say I ended up at AstroNet. What would I see?
Well,
what kind of interface? What would the page look like?
I think the front page was kind of, we had different designs. There's one that I remember, one of the earliest ones was Invader Space. And then it just had, you know, like buttons. I mean, it's kind of primitive compared to what everything looks like today, but there'd be buttons that you click on just to go to wherever you wanted to go, whether it was a horoscope or I think I was featured on the front page. And, you know, you just kind of clicked where you wanted to go. And then the chat rooms, they were scheduled. You know, there'd be like a, you know, I mean, basically the chats would be at different times, but all the AOL sites had chats to be going, you know, depending what you were doing. And
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so if there was a chat, would there be an announced topic? Like right now, we're going to talk about love signs or something like that?
Yeah, kind of like that. And there'd be a moderator. We had all these different people that would, you know, I mean, I'd be in and out, but I wasn't running the chats. We had a lot of people. Everybody wanted to be involved. You know, we had astrologers all over the country that were, it was a really soulful, it was like a big family. And, you know, I'll explain later, it was acquired, and then that's when things fell apart. But in the AOL days, in the early days of the web, it was really a magical place. And, you know, it just sort of had true soulful energy from all the people that were there. You could just, it was a very pure, pure kind of thing. And I think that's the reason it grew so quickly.
And you ended up, I mean, you had these awards. How did you get on people's radar? How did New York Times interview you, for example, and...
You know, it was funny. I mean, we had a PR company, but not in the very early days. People were finding us. You know, it was a little smaller world than it is today. But I would get contacted by people. I guess they would, you know, go through the site and, you know, email me. Later, of course, we had a PR company. And the .com Diva book, she reached out to me. The Harvard Business School, that was really after we got acquired. And it's funny because the person that was the grand prize winner is Jim Cramer, the financial guy on TV. But Jim Cramer. He was a startup back in the day. But you know, there was other. I think you asked about like who else was there. Astrology.com was a competitor. Now they're still around today on the web, but only in name. And then I must give congratulations to Astrology Zone. You probably know Susan Miller. You know,
yes.
she's been around forever, and she's still really active today. And I mean, we had wanted her to come onto our site, and she wanted to stay, you know, independent with herself. But anyway, I give her a lot of credit. She's really done a lot for astrology. But you know, to continue the story, so we're at the peak of our success, and you know, there was like kind of rumblings in the .com world. for anybody who's old enough to remember, the stock market was crazy. AOL wanted to buy us, and then, but they were going to shut us down. And then we sold, we ended up getting pitched by Hearst, the Hearst, big Hearst Corporation. They had a new media arm. And, you know, I thought, gee, you know, old media is better than new media. We're going to get a magazine. We're going to get a TV show. You know, they promised us everything. But then they acquired Astronet. They merged it with women.com, which was a site out of California. Doesn't exist anymore, of course. And then, you know, it kind of lost its soul. And then soon thereafter the acquisition, they kicked me out as the founder. I had just had my second son. I was on top of the world. And then suddenly I get a phone call. It's like, oh, you know, your position's going to be ended. I'm like, okay. And then the dot-com bubble burst. And so, you know, everything started to really fall apart. And so, you know, it wasn't happy. It wasn't a happy time. We didn't make the stupid money like a lot of people did then. But, you know, at the end of the day, we did okay. And it was, you know, it was really sad because all the soul was taken. You know, I used to say, oh, my God, they ruined Astronet and they kicked me out. And people would be like, it's just business. You know, but for me, it really wasn't because it was like my child. So it wasn't a happy time. And then a year later was 9/11. So, and I had a non-compete. So I was trying to start a new site and people were coming after me. And then 9/11 happened. And that, you know, kind of put everybody over the edge. It set everybody back. So then I had a baby son. I'd gotten married and I just sort of stepped away. You know, I do counseling every now and then, but I stepped away from business or starting a new company.
Before AOL started talking about buying it from you, how big did it get? I mean, what kind of numbers did you have in terms of traffic?
Oh, like millions of visitors. You know, it was really big. This is another thing. When Hearst, I remember Hearst came up to New Canaan and, you know, a bunch of men and they're scribbling on the whiteboard and they're trying to say like, well, you know, you have this many million, but you know, this many is retained. And I'm like looking at them and I didn't understand what they were saying. They're trying to get the price down. Right. And to this day, I always say that was a time I didn't have balls because instead of being like, sorry guys, I don't understand what you're saying. And I'm not going to sell my company to you unless I understand. I was just like, oh, okay. You know, and you pay a price for those moments when you don't question in life, but it takes being older to look back and realize that, right, Kathy?
Well, that's another topic. Yeah. That's another conversation.
But yeah, you know, I mean, it was really big. It was as big as could be then. You know, there's just a lot of people coming in every day and a lot of business
and
generated.
Were there things people could subscribe to, buy? Did you have merchandise, sell readings?
We had merchandise, but the merchandise wasn't really that successful. The readings were really successful. You know, people would apply, you know, they would buy online time and, you know, there's a credit card and everything. And then they would be assigned a time with one of our astrologers and then they would have their phone consult. But we would, you know, and you had just like with the psychic network, you know, sometimes you had people buying too many consultations, you know, and you got a little worried about those people. But, yeah, there were a lot of people reaching out and purchasing private consultations.
Through that,
revenue stream. Yeah, just go ahead.
Did you have classes? Did you teach people things or?
No, we didn't have classes.
No. So, horoscopes, chats, readings,
advertising. Kind too. Of the, you know, that's yeah. Those are the early days of advertising, and you know, our audience was predominantly female. So, you know, you were pitching to advertisers or advertisers would come to us as well who were trying to reach, you know, a female demographic. So that was the early days of online life. Yep.
My God. Okay. So now you may not be able to answer this question, but just the business person in me goes, AOL. So you started it through AOL, but you were allowed to retain
money. Yeah. So AOL.
But you were allowed to.
Money. Go ahead.
But you were allowed to retain control, and then AOL wanted to buy it from you and shut it down. Why did they want to start their own?
No. A lot of their business model, a lot of the AOL greenhouse sites, because there are about 25 of them, like food and health, and you know all these different sites. I don't think they were making enough money for them. But they had a contract to see us through, so they would. But I would have made stupid. If I'd done that deal, I would have made stupid money, because AOL was at its pinnacle. I had all the stock, and you know, you wouldn't have had AstroNet, but you would have made like stupid money. But it was funny because my COO was getting a divorce, and he was moving that weekend, and I couldn't reach him. And AOL's calling and saying, "You got to make, if you want to do the deal, you got to do it today." And you know, I couldn't reach a lawyer, and it was just kind of like, "Oh, I just can't do it today." It holds today. And then by Monday, they didn't, you know, the deal was. So anyway, that's when we went on. I don't know if anybody remembers the results of this site that was very successful called iVillage. It was like.
I haven't thought of them forever.
Well, they wanted to buy us too, but they were really wacky. The founder was, she's very smart, but, you know, she's a little flighty. And I just thought, oh, I think it'd be better to go with Hearst. But at the end of the day, years later, Hearst ended up buying iVillage, and iVillage bought, basically acquired our competitor, astrology.com. So that's why if you do an internet search, astrology.com comes up. It's a generic site. The founder is no longer there, but at least it exists.
Right.
Unlike AstroNet. But, you know, it was a great run, Kathy. It was a great run, and I'm really proud to have done what I did. And, you know, it would have been nice to have a company 20 years later, but that wasn't meant to be.
Well, do you see any kind of like echoes of what you did? Do you see any evidence of the influence that AstroNet had?
I'm not sure it's like direct. What I do see in today's world is that astrology is really, really popular. I think it's in our crazy, uncertain world. It's more popular than ever with all the younger generations. So, I mean, it just makes me feel that I was always on the pulse of something that, you know, the human spirit gravitates to, because they want to understand.
Yeah, a means for understanding. And speaking of, I understand, this is not an area of the web that I spend that lures me into spending time, but I understand that TikTok astrology is a huge thing. I do see people on Instagram a lot. That's about the furthest I'll go. But apparently there are people who've made careers. A graduate student in Manhattan has a huge following.
And they're young.
They're very young. They're very young. Yeah. And there's also a streak I have noticed of very openly witchy as part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of strange stuff going on. And I'm not anywhere near TikTok either. My younger son probably is, but I don't, you know, Instagram is about as far as I go now too. I mean, I personally, I don't like social media. It haunts me. But if I don't use it, I'm a hermit. So, you know, I work it hard, and, you know, I have people that work it with me, and I've got a really good following growing on Instagram. And, you know, especially this year of being so isolated. Anyway, it's a good thing.
So that's kind of a, let's talk about why you're on Instagram. So how has astrology continued to play a role in your life since you sold AstroNet and raised your son?
I mean, astrology is always going to be a part of my life. I mean, I don't do much really elaborate astro analysis like you do. I used to, I do more meditation now. But I did place like a lot of emphasis on the Saturn-Pluto conjunction last January, predicting that 2020 would be like a most auspicious year. Of course, I was anticipating good fortune, good cheer, and success, not a global pandemic and lockdown. But, you know, I look at big picture things and how they could, you know, affect the world. But for now, I mostly just follow and report on my Instagram feed, you know, with new and full moons, when the sun changes signs, when Mercury goes retrograde, and I love Mercury retrograde phases. And I like to paint series and symbols. I had done this chakra series. It's actually permanently in the yoga lounge in Chelsea. There's a big Chelsea Piers up in Stanford, as there is in New York. So they're there. And that was the seven chakras. And then I thought, oh, I want to do another series on signs and symbols. It's like, well, why not do the astrology signs? So I did my zodiac series, and so usually on Instagram, when it's a, you know, something having to do with one of the signs, we'll post one of those paintings. And they look really great as a group. But, you know, most of my work is, you know, and I think you had asked me once before, I use the colors associated with each sign, and I made these 12 small paintings, and they say they really look great together. But they get posted on Instagram quite a bit.
They're squares, right?
Yeah, they're squares. They're 12 by 12. They're small. And they've been in shows, like small work shows and stuff. Yeah, I like them. I like them all.
They move around.
Yeah, I've done another series. But, yeah, I mean, when, you know, with astrology and my work, you know, I mean, I just try to pick up on, like, the daily cycles of life. I mean, a lot of what's changed in my life now as to back then, I'm a very involved yogi, and I've been doing serious yoga for, like, maybe 30 years. But also, like, now I'm a meditator, and it took a long time to get a meditation practice, because even in yoga, in Shavasana, I'd be thinking, what do I want to eat? What am I going to shop in the food store? But I worked really hard. I guess I've been meditating seriously maybe 3-4 years. So that's a big part of my life.
For an air sun to do that and to still your mind, that's a big deal.
It is.
I would say, yeah. And for anyone listening out there, it doesn't quite understand. If you're an air sign, that means you have that your intellect and your mental activity is a huge component of your personality.
Yeah, and I have Aquarius rising too. So, you know.
Yeah, so.
But anyway, with all the noise in the world, and I just find, you know, you just have to. And also, it's really helped with my painting, because when I started painting again, you know, I was thinking, oh, painting's really transcendental, like yoga and meditation. And, you know, as I started to do it, you kind of lose yourself in it. And, you know, so even when I talk about my work, my artist statements, I always mention things like that. I consider it to be transcendental. And, you know, now and for the last few years, I use actual metallics and glitter into the paint and reflective paint, and interference paint. And to it creates.
I want
like
to talk more about
areas.
That.
Yeah.
In a
oh,
second.
Go ahead, break.
It's time for the
sure.
next break. So
good.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes and we'll continue this. Thank you.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
How would you like navigational tools you can use on your own? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and click the Shop tab. There you'll find lots of talks and guides explaining the big influences at work now, like Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. You'll also find a variety of guided visualizations for relaxing, clearing your energy, or getting to know planetary archetypes. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We're talking to Eugenie D'Azario about, well, we've been talking about Astronet in the very early days of astrology on the internet, and now we're talking about the role that astrology plays in her life and, more importantly, in her art. And there were two things you were bringing up in the last segment that I'd like to follow up on. You were talking about using glittery substances, different colors, different textures I've noticed in your painting. I was wondering, could you just kind of briefly describe the 12 canvases in your Zodiac series?
Oh, okay. Well, God, I wish we had visuals so people could see.
I know, that's why they have to go to your website.
Yeah, you have to go to my website. Well, obviously, they're all in my... I tend to do like a lot of gestural brush strokes and scribbles and personal calligraphy. So Aries is, you know, like brush strokes to make the Aries sign, and it's mostly in shades of reds, and then there's, I think, some silver in there. And then Taurus, I believe the Taurus colors were green, a little brown, and pink, and the Taurus sign is drawn in the middle in gold paint. And, you know, each one is like the sign that it's supposed to be. So then we're on to Gemini is orange. And, you know, if you go on, you'll see, you can even scroll to my Instagram feed because they're all in there. They go back over the last couple of years. So Gemini's colors were orange. And obviously there's also metallics and glitter in each painting. And then after Gemini, we have, we're at Cancer. Cancer's one of my favorite paintings. It's really soft, it's like silvery and gray. And that one's very, the little Cancer sign, that one's very abstract. And then Leo, of course, is gold and yellow. And Virgo is all earthy, kind of greens and browns. And Libra is really pretty, just kind of like pink and pale blue. And, you know, and everything's sparkly because I use like glitter in my paintings. And Scorpio is one of my favorite ones. It's like deep maroon and gold and purple. It's really powerful. It's in a lot of shows. And Sagittarius is shades of blue with that sign. And then Capricorn goes back to the earthy colors again. And then Aquarius is like one of my favorites. It's electric blue with silver and everything. And then Pisces is more green and lavender. Those are the colors of Pisces. And there's the colors of the Zodiac. But each one has a little mood and feeling, and people always really like them. And they're small, so I've submitted them. There's a lot of people are doing, like, shows with small works around here. I guess New York, too. So they've gotten some shows. But, you know, I just feel like I paint energy, and art is really just channeled energy, and channeling that energy is really like a spiritual practice. So, you know, that's really what I do.
You convey the energy of each sign in the canvas.
I think the colors do. Yeah. I mean, the style of the painting, the brush strokes are the same, and the scribbles are the same in each one, but the colors then give, you know, the feeling of the sign. Yeah. I mean, that's the interpretation I've got from the people that see them. And the people always like to see their sign on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes. And lately, I mean, I know that you have your work displayed in galleries and in design shops, and you said in Hudson Yards and Stamford, but sometimes you're in online exhibits these days, right?
Well, last year, I was at one point in the spring, I was in 8 online virtual shows because everything was virtual. See, things are just starting to open up now, which is good. Like there'll be a live opening the 18th. Thank God, I can't wait for that. It'll be everything's online too, because not everybody's comfortable going out. But you know, things are starting to open up a little. Yeah, things are starting to open up a little. But you know, in the height of the quarantine, nothing. But you know, it was good. People were still putting on shows, and you know, at least you were getting exposed. But no one was going out.
So one little detour before we wrap up here. One of the things you post about and one of the things you like is Mercury retrograde.
I do. I love it. I used to hate
it. So explain.
Well, I've come to really understand. First of all, I totally understand Mercury retrograde as it's the shadow side of all of us. So if you're in a chaotic place, psychologically, emotionally, psychically, you're going to have a chaotic period during Mercury retrograde. But if you can, you know, just know that it's a time to pull inside yourself, pull back. My favorite words are, you know, restore, reboot, recalibrate. Mercury retrograde can be so productive. And I don't think I've had a problem in a Mercury retrograde for years. But, you know, you had to relook at all the, oh, my computer broke. Oh, I missed my flight. Oh, you know, I had a car accident. All the bad things that we associate with Mercury retrograde. But really, Mercury retrograde is asking everybody, you know, it's a dance of life. 2 steps forward, 1 step backward. And if you can pull back and kind of review your life, see what's working, what isn't, you can have a very productive Mercury retrograde.
That sounds very much in keeping with a meditative approach to life.
Yeah. Well, as I said, probably back in the astronaut days, I was missing flights and I was, computers were breaking down, but I'm a different person today. But yeah, a lot of my story is, like most women, is about really reinvention. You know, there's all the ups and downs in life. You try to explain to kids, they don't realize, you know, like those people on TikTok that are so successful at like 21, they don't realize the zigzag that's up ahead.
But. Yeah, there's this fantasy that life is a straight line, and it's
I know.
A bumblebee path going all over the place, and sometimes it ends up where you were before.
Totally.
And you go,
but
you're
always
learn
from everything. You always learn from everything.
That's a theory.
And you know, I also wanted to mention the quote I was telling you about. I don't know if anybody out there, you'd have to be older to remember Daryl Martini, the late great Cosmic Muffin. He used to broadcast out of Boston. I used to be on his show quite a bit. And he always said, it's a wise person that rules the stars. It's a fool who is ruled by them. Daryl Martini, the Cosmic Muffin. But astrology is a great tool. No, astrology is, that's why with Mercury retrograde. Oh, it's Mercury retrograde. Everything's going to go wrong. Well, not necessarily. You know, it's like you choose your life, but astrology is a wonderful roadmap. And, you know, the other thing that's really fun now, together, my husband and I have 5 children, and 2 of my stepdaughters have little daughters. And it's really fun as these babies come in to do their charts and then the parents' charts and see, you know, see the connections. I mean, I did it with my own kids, but it's been my kids are grown. Anyway, it's just kind of fun to see the connections. And where these kids are connected to their parents and where they're not and where they're probably going to be challenges, you know, in raising them. But yeah, I still use astrology for a lot of things. There's no doubt.
It's a very useful tool for understanding the people that float in and out of your life. Very,
yeah.
Very useful.
It
I
really
have found.
Is.
And you can find out someone's birth time and look at their chart and go, well, that explains it.
I know. No, and I think, look what's interesting. Like, we met through vinyl. We met through vinyl. Everybody should know. Kathy had records.
Yeah.
I have tons of records from being in the music business. I was still selling a record collection. And Kathy ended up giving her collection to someone else, but she had all this packing material that she came and visited me and gave to me, and we became really good friends, and we stay in touch. And Kathy, you are a day after the guy, you know, the guy, the love of my life guy. You're January 26th, and there's another guy on Instagram that's become a really close art friend and big fan, and he's on January 26th. So you start to see what people how people gravitate into your life, and then you see these clusters of what their signs are, or what their rising is, or their moon, you know, and you realize, oh, I'm not surprised, you know. So
yeah, it's energies that you're working through. I went through a long phase where every guy I dated was a Sagittarius, and then I went through the Virgo phase, and now I'm in the middle February phase, which I'm hoping I'm graduating from. The Aquarius Pisces borderland.
Yeah. I know. My first husband and another very serious relationship were August 27th and 26th, and I have like Venus and Mars in early Virgo, so you know. Like I guess, but not that they were great relationships, but there had to be some connection with that.
Right,
so,
right. No,
it's always fascinating, yeah.
There are always intersection points, and with what you were bringing up with families, for people who are listening and maybe haven't thought about it this way, there is generally at least one commonality in family charts. In my family, everybody's got something in the mid degrees of Gemini. There's often a like a sector of the zodiac where there's a concentration, or there might be a certain relationship between planets. Like there might be an aspect that kind of defines the family. There's always something, and then it ends up being part of what the story of the group is. You can do it with groups of people too, as well. You know, like all your musician friends or something.
No, you know, I forgot to say too. Like what I sort of got known for in Astronet in my readings was I worked with the nodes quite a bit. You know, the nodes of the moon and the connections to those, and I always found that really, really revealing as well.
And what would be, that was your entry point into what? Understanding the person's purpose, their path, their destiny?
No, just that. And also just like, you know, I think there's a lot of really fated and soulmate relationships when people have direct contacts to like a personal planet to another person's nodal contact.
You know, that's like, true.
Yeah. So I got really focused on that. I got a lot of insight out of that. Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of somebody, there's a post somewhere out on the internet and people are complimenting my work. I mean, it's hard to find, but, you know, so long ago, but people are saying that I was an expert in nodal connection. So, but that was back in the day, Kathy. I know.
Now, oh, well, you know, it would be so fascinating to have a time machine and go back and see. Yes, you have a thought.
I know. And my husband's a Taurus, and I have a Taurus moon. And that's how I met him. He was a friend of my sister's, and then he's like, you know, oh, would you do my chart? And I'm like, well, you might as well unload your problems on me. Everybody else does. So I did his chart. One thing led to another. We're going to be married 21 years in 2 weeks.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Is it during Taurus time that your anniversary falls?
29th of April.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. He's a real Taurus. Well,
you're both Venus-ruled people. Anyway, so just for anyone who is listening to this, there are all kinds of ways you can weave astrology into your understanding of daily life. You know, I mean, the forecasts that I write are like weather reports. Here are things that are going on. Watch for this. Here's how it might be affecting you. You can certainly see your own timelines, things playing out, cycles recurring, and understand what the patterns are between people. Did you ever do anything for the staff at Astronet? I mean, did you guys look at the company chart
like
that?
Yeah, no, we had the company chart. Everybody's charts were done. You know, I've got it somewhere in a file. I think the company was Scorpio. Scorpio Sun.
For making money. There we go.
Yeah. But I just want everybody to know where they can find my work. And
I was going to ask you. Yes, please.
Me. Yeah. Okay. Please. Well, I have a website. It's www.JeannieDesirioArt.com. And my Instagram feed is really most active because it's updated almost every day. And that's Eugenie Desirio Art. So everything is my name with art. And it's been great to visit with your audience today.
Well, before you go, let's talk just a bit about where people could find things. So they can find art at your site and on your Instagram feed. Yes. If someone's in Stamford, Connecticut, if they go into Hudson Yards, they'll see...
Well, not Hudson Yards. No, I'm in Stamford, and anybody that's in the area, if you want to contact me, I'm, you know, welcome to have studio visits. Totally, because I have the whole downstairs in my house, so I have a whole lot of work here.
But you said the chakra series was on display, or was that a historical comment?
The chakra series are at Chelsea Piers, Stamford, which is
Chelsea Piers, not Hudson Yard. There we go.
No. Okay. Chelsea Piers. You know, there's Chelsea Piers in New York and Brooklyn, and there's a big one in Stamford that's been here about 6-7 years. Yeah. And they're on permanent display in the yoga lounge, and everybody loves them. I like to walk there and just look at them.
you have an opening coming up also?
Yes, I do. It's at the Carriage Barn in New Canaan, There's a really excellent show called Ode to Color. It's opening April 18th, and it was curated by this woman, Lori Weitzler. She's a textile designer, kind of well-known, has a beautiful book out. So I think it's going to be a beautiful show. And I have a painting called Mercy in the category of called alchemy, which I thought was cool, because she puts her colors into 10 different kind of mood worlds. So anyway, that's the 18th. That's going to be a live show. If anybody is in the area of Fairfield County, it will be up a month.
Well, thank you very much. We're coming to the end of our hour. I really, really appreciate you coming on the show and just reminiscing and telling us about days gone by and also about your art. So people go look at Eugenie's art at EugenieDesirioArt.com, and also that's her Instagram handle. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kathy, and blessings to everybody out there. Have a great night. Thank you so much.